Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. How y'all doing?
What was that?
Just it's my colloquial way of welcoming everyone to the Holderness Family Podcast.
It's funny you should say a word incorrectly.
Because
The topic of today is things we're getting wrong. Not just sayings and idioms, but just like stuff in life we've got wrong.
Right. And there's a difference between getting stuff wrong and getting it loud wrong.
Loud wrong.
Loud wrong is fun. Yeah. Loud wrong means you've said it more than once. You've just accepted it as fact until someone comes along or life comes along and says, nope.
Okay, before we get to some comedy, I want to prepare you that next week, it's very exciting. I'm a little nervous about this. We have a live podcast coming to you from South by Southwest in Austin.
Yes.
Yes, like the South by Southwest. We're partnering with She Media and Acast. They're bringing us as guests to do a live podcast. It's going to be about ADHD and what it's like to live with and love somebody who's neurodiverse. And it's a pretty big deal to be asked to do that. So I'm a little nervy.
Well, She Media, we've known them for a while. They are predominantly a woman's platform. They have been incredibly cool with me and have invited me to go as well, which I think is wonderful. But they have pretty much nailed the female voice when it comes to media. And everyone that we've met there has been so incredibly positive. They're letting us try something we've never done before. And we're going to be in company of people who are way more impressive than us.
I know. So I'm excited. So speaking of ADHD and neurodiversity and all that fun stuff, we're going to be doing a special promotion with Barnes & Noble for our new book, ADHD is Awesome. So when you pre-order, you can tell us where you'd like us to hold a future book signing so we could come to your town.
We could. We might not, but we might. So let us know. In fact, go to ADHDisAwesomeBook.com. Again, ADHDisAwesomeBook.com for book information. And for everything else, you go to theholdernessfamily.com.
Okay, so my husband, you guys know this. He's so smart. He's so smart. If you watch The Amazing Race, he has this incredible memory. I mean, we got through tasks so quickly just because of just the brain power on this one. He's one of those people, he took the SAT one time and he got a really high score. It's so annoying. Just knows so much about so many things. We had the privilege of going on vacation recently. It was amazing. And there's going to be some snorkeling opportunities. And, you know, he was talking about all the potential fish we might be seeing.
You want me to jump in here?
Yeah.
Okay. I need to add something here. This was a mistake that I made that I was a little embarrassed of. And after we left the vacation, we do this thing called top 10.
We do it like, every vacation.
What are our family's top 10 moments? This is Kim's favorite moment of the entire vacation.
We could have saved a lot of money. We could have saved it in the airport, honestly. It was a highlight for
me. I was talking about the sharks that they have in the reefs, and I heard someone say, hey, you're going to get a chance to see the Nerf shark. And I was like, oh, yeah, the Nerf shark. And Lola, my daughter, even, I think she's the one who caught me. She's like, Dad, did you just say Nerf shark? And I was like, yeah, they're like soft. They're Nerf. Oh, crap. Wait, what are they called? They're called a nurse shark.
So a nurse shark, we could get on the interwebs and get some more details on a nurse shark. But a nurse shark, traditionally, it doesn't really have like the teeth that bite you, but it could like suck on your arm.
It's soft and spongy.
Yeah, like a Nerf. So for a minute, he tried to double down that it was a Nerf shark.
I'm like, no, people call it a Nerf shark because it's so soft and porous.
And it doesn't hurt you as like a Nerf bullet wouldn't hurt you. So
you were so
And Lola goes, happy. So wait, you feel like Nerf, you know, sponsored the ocean and got to name a species of shark?
A company that's been around for, let's say, 40 years named a shark that's been around for, let's say, 12 billion years or however long it's been here.
So it was funny to me, mostly because if my kids had had this misunderstanding, it would not have been a blip. We would have said like, oh, okay, well, I get how that's an easy mistake. Here's what it is. And we aren't the people in our family. We don't tease if you make a mistake. Growth mindset. Mistakes are how you learn. Mm-hmm. We love a mistake in our family. Let's celebrate mistakes. We do. We celebrate the mistakes.
Right.
Except for this, because Penn Holderness, literally, we went to tour some Mayan ruins, and he sat there and got into a 30-minute discussion on like the suns and the number base 20. And like, he knows so much stuff, guys. And so he's just one of those dads that's always teaching, which is great. Like, you want that dad. And so he's like, he was doing Mayan math calculations with our kids. And he's like, okay, what if it's a clamshell with a dot and a line? What is that? Okay. And so he's always teaching, and that he got that wrong. The Nerf shark. You got the Nerf shark wrong. I don't know why it made me so happy that I knew something you didn't know.
Are you a little bit deep down annoyed at how I'm constantly trying to explain stuff? Is that part of it?
No, one of the things I love about you is you are so curious, and you will sit there and ask. I value that. I think curiosity is a wonderful character trait, but there are so many times when you're like, hey, babe, do you know why the sun is doing this and this? And I'm like, obviously I don't, just tell me. So I had a special sort of joy. And what does that say about me? That I found joy in your mistake.
I mean, everyone has a little bit of Schadenfreude, right? Yeah. And I'm actually, by the way, very happy that we live in a world where you can still do that, because that's like, you're describing my entire boys trip that I ever go on. It's just nothing but Schadenfreude. Mm-hmm. It's people laughing harmlessly at the expense of each other. And it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, but again, our family, we're like, oh, look, you had a chance to learn something. We're trying to reframe that. I have to say, I went on Instagram and I asked our friends out in the Instagram universe if they had terms or things they got wrong. And I told the Nerf shark story. And there were two people, Diesel and Kimbo Slice, on Instagram that also...
Rest in power, Kimbo Slice, by the way. Go ahead.
That also thought that they were called Nerf sharks and were horrified that they were wrong. So you are not alone, Penn.
Yeah. All right. So from Instagram, and look, I think a lot of people are going to nod their heads and take a moment. And if you're driving along or you're doing laundry or you're on a walk, nod your head if this was you at some point, or if this is you still and you're not sure about this, right? Anne Barry Mansmith. And honestly, like, did you know this as well, Kim? It's not butt naked. It's buck naked.
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah. A lot of people say butt naked.
It is butt naked.
It's buck naked.
Oh. Well, what's a buck? What does that even mean?
It's just the adjective to how naked you are. It makes more sense that you're butt naked because
you see your butt.
But the correct term is buck naked. Oh. Do you want to know the etymology of that? Like the history of it? Okay. While the word buck is sometimes used as an adjective meaning completely or totally, this sense likely derives from its use in buck naked. One common theory is that the word buck in buck naked is used to compare a person's smooth, naked skin to that of a buck, meaning a male deer.
Okay.
But buck is actually used as an adjective meaning completely or totally.
Oh.
So that was the top part.
Oh, okay.
So it is actually correct.
So there is another one, not to throw you under the bus here again, but there is one that
Nerolo
got wrong that you also at one point in your life got wrong. Nerolo 76 thought it was a doggy dog world, not a dog eat dog world.
Yeah, I was completely convinced of this. The first time I'd heard it used, it was a Snoop Dogg album, and I've completely adopted that as the way that everything was. And then I found out, like, while I was on the news, someone said dog eat dog world. And I was like, I don't know why. You know, they have those like four shots at the end of the newscast where everyone's just talking. They got 30 minutes to kill because someone's like the weathercast went short or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, so I don't know if you guys knew this, but it's not, it's a dog eat dog world. It's a dog eat dog world. And Brad, Joanne, and Janice, who are all on the desk, looked at me and they went, yeah,
pen.
Everybody knows that. And so they started laughing out loud at me. And then you know how the music plays
and
up?
And the credits. And
you can just see them like rolling over and pointing at me. And then everyone in the audio room came in and then all the reporters came in and we're just all just going, what is wrong with me? Again, I am an easy target for this sort of thing. And I love this sort of thing. And I love people laughing at my expense.
Oh,
it made me happy.
You're
so I was fine with it. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So Manhands thought it was from the gecko versus from the get-go.
Oh, wow.
That's cute, though.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, maybe a lot of this has to do with the fact that maybe he was developing language skills around the time of the Geico commercials.
See?
You know, like from the get-go.
From the get-go.
Yeah.
I mean.
What about, okay, this is a big one. And my mother, my mother tried to teach me all of these, and I guess I didn't hear all of them. But it's not for all intensive purposes, as Chrissy reminds us from Instagram. It's for all intents and purposes.
Okay.
Which my mother actually has said, you should actually say for all intent and purpose.
Yes.
Because you don't even need to pluralize intents and purposes.
Your mother was quite the wordsmith.
Yes.
So we should do what Mary Holderness
did. And anyway, so thank you, Chrissy. What else you got?
Amy Lee says there was a misunderstanding between not a scapegoat, you know, somebody you would blame.
Yep.
She was saying escape goat.
I mean, it makes more sense.
I know.
Kind of like, you escape your blame by putting it on the scapegoat.
Michelle Ann, she's funny because she's from California. So weather, she's sort of like has weather blindness because the weather's sort of like perfect and the same all the time. She thought it was windshield factor, like the windshield of your car, not wind chill factor.
Oh.
Like a windshield factor?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, if you wake up in the morning and there's some like stuff on your windshield, or if you, or if the windshield is keeping you from, you know, getting wind on it, I'm okay with that. I just saw one that I still, honestly, I know that it's wrong, but I use it anyway. Mimi Marks, instead of up and Adam.
Yeah.
Like at, I just always thought it was up and Adam. I had a really good friend named Adam.
Oh, like A-D-A-M.
Yeah.
Oh, you really thought that?
Yeah. And honestly, I don't care. I'm going to stick with it because up and at doesn't make much sense either.
Didn't one of your friends have something about punching a gift horse in the mouth or something like
that? Oh, no. Looking a gift horse in the mouth. Oh. So looking a gift horse in the mouth, I think is a reference. Oh my God, I'm scared about this. I'm going to say it out loud. I think it's a reference to the Trojan War.
Should we look that up?
Yeah. But like, remember, because they gave him a gift horse and if you look it in the mouth, they like, okay, let me look it up. Look, here we go. No, I got it wrong. It's not the Trojan horse. So the proverb refers to the practice of evaluating the age of a horse by looking at its teeth.
So if it's a gift horse, meaning somebody gave it to you, don't look it at the mouth to see how old it is. Just say, take it and say, right. Hey, thanks for the free horse, dude.
Yeah. So I think Will was actually right because I thought it was a reference to the Trojan horse thing. That made sense to me.
What was he saying?
He was like, it means if actually... He said, it means if a horse shows up at your house with a gift in its mouth, you take that gift and you walk away and you say, thank you. He's also one of the smartest people I've ever met.
He is very smart as well.
All right, what else we got? This is fun.
Curl up in the feeble position versus fetal position.
Okay.
Although, I don't know. I have been in the feeble position before.
Yes.
Yes. And I feel like that's not a huge mistake.
All right. Happy girl, Janet. Thank you for bringing this up because I still don't know the answer because sometimes I buy it and it's called this. Duct tape or duct tape?
Okay, so our kids, and why would they know this? There's no reason why they should know this. So one of our children was looking at the duct tape and said, oh my gosh, I thought it was duct tape. And fair, because the brand even has a duck on it. So
no, it's called the duct tape brand
is duct tape
is called duct tape.
I don't know if there's a duck on it, but I was like, yeah, I think for air ducts, I don't know, but yes, that is a common mistake.
So I'm just going to like, we buy these.
Yes.
We buy duct tape. So there's a brand
it's
that
a
just
brand,
leaned
it's a
into
duck
it.
Brand.
Yes.
Tape.
Yeah. So they've made it more confusing for people and that's fine. It makes sense. Last one. I was guilty of this until I got a little older. You nip it in the bud. You do not nip it in the butt.
Okay. So I just always thought like a bud, like because you're pruning, you're picking flowers. So I always thought it was bud.
Yeah. You're smarter than me in that sense. I thought you were nipping it in the butt.
It's a little assaulty.
I don't disagree. I just thought that was what the term was.
Okay, so those are some really harmless, funny idioms, terms we get wrong. But, you know, there's other things in life we've gotten wrong. And we thought we would share with you today some really... So when we say these things out loud, you're going to be like...
Loud, yeah, wrong.
Duh. So I remember very clearly when I had an infant daughter and I said out loud, you know, as soon as she sleeps through the night, I can stop worrying. As soon as she gets a little older, it will get easier.
Mm-hmm. Once we get through a certain age,
it will be...
It's on auto. I think the word we use is autopilot.
Yeah. It'll
be on autopilot.
I know. And I remember my mom laughing at me and I was holding my infant daughter who is very colicky. And she's like, oh, sweetie, just wait till she starts driving. So while I do think this teenage is... the most fun, like we just had this really fun travel experience with them, we don't have to wipe butts, we can sleep, I would say it, no part of it is easier. Like bigger kids, bigger problems. They are great, but their problems seem to be on the record now.
Yeah.
I think in a bigger way. So how silly was I to think that it would get easier?
Not silly, because I think outwardly it looks hard. Like I see my friends who have children who are in their twos or threes and they're running around and, you know, it's that age where you're learning how to regulate. And I do look at it and I'm like, yeah, I remember that. I'm okay with my kids right now. And they will come up to me and say, when does this end? And the stages do end. I think it's difficult in a very obvious way. early on.
Yeah.
And it's difficult in a much more subtle, subversive, psycho way.
Yeah. It's mentally harder.
Mentally and emotionally, too. That what you just said about being on the record is so true. And our daughter is right in the thick of it, and our son is about to start it. And we've got to start thinking about that again, and we probably put too much into this anyway. I mean, our daughter put it on herself because she's incredibly motivated and wonderful, but like putting too much into being on that record so you can get into that college, so you can get that job and everything. But yeah. That's the process kind of starts right around the time that they become more independent. And all of those other things go away. They can drive. They can.
I know. You know. I feel like I wish I could. I remember at one point, you know, I had like two screaming small children, and somebody said, "Believe it or not, you're going to miss this." I don't miss that. I think somebody gave me the advice of, if you really are present at every stage, or you really do your best to be there for every stage, you're ready for the next one. Mm-hmm. And I find that to be true. I feel like we really, even if we were working all the time, we did the best we could, we're always ready for the next stage. But just this thought that it would ever be easier. I'm sure if you asked my mother, and I'm in my 40s, she still worries. Like she's still, so I don't know that it ever gets easier. So that's one of the funny, loud wrongs I had. What about you, Penn?
Oh, I have quite a few. So let's see. Oh, I can coast through college and get an easy job when I graduate.
You really thought you could?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. I believe I'm like, okay, I go to a good school and I don't have to worry about my major or my grades. No one's going to ask about grades, which, you know, and I'm just going to, mosey my way into a business job or something.
Business.
You know, upper management. It's going to be fine. Totally cool.
It's like when Ken, did you watch, obviously you watched Barbie, but when he walked in, yes. He's like, can I be a doctor? And they're like, no.
Yeah, exactly. I had an unusual amount of confidence that I was going to be just fine when it was like, I'm going to go into sports casting.
Yeah.
Do you know how many dudes that age? Because it was during the golden age of SportsCenter, and there were like a million dudes, mostly. There were probably women too, but because there were a lot of dudes in it. Like, oh man. Catchphrases. I can deliver those.
But it's totally fine. To be fair, you did go into sports.
I did. It was very difficult, though. It took me a year of living with my parents and sending out resume tapes that I had to make in my basement. And I started out by saying, I'm going to go to Pittsburgh, which sounds like not that big a deal, but like
it's a huge market.
Laughable.
Yeah.
And then I just kept working my way down. I was like, well, maybe I can get into Peoria. Nope. No. That was way too high. Way too high. Paducah, Kentucky.
No.
No. Grand Junction, Colorado. Statistically, the 8th smallest market in the United States.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That was where I got it.
Okay. Well, you did it, and you worked at the Macaroni Grill, and you sang Italian songs while you delivered your meals, and you made resume tapes. That's a good experience, though.
It was. I had never been humbled in my life, really, I don't think, before then, other than like when I was in middle school and I got the crap beat out of me.
But you also didn't make, you always tell PC and you tell the team you coach, like you did not make a sports team for a long time.
Right, that was the
other
time.
You had been humbled enough.
Yeah, but I took a break from being humbled in college. I was just like, look at me.
Everything's going to
be fine. I'm fun. Everything's going to be fine. My personality will get me a job. And that didn't happen. So I was loud wrong about that. And,
so what did you, I think I learned from the whole parenting thing. I learned I was wrong. What did you learn from that?
Only that, a couple things. I think the main thing that I learned is you can't just get any job because you like it. And whatever job you think you want to get, what you think it looks like probably exists 5 years down the road, not instantly. It just doesn't work that way. At least it didn't for me. It took so long for me to get to, even in television, to the point where I felt like I was doing what I dreamed that I would be doing. Mm. And that's okay. I think that's part of, that's the next phase in your life, right? Like you gotta pay your dues. I think even my friends who were like 4.0 grade point average guys who went to New York to work for banks, they were working 100-hour weeks, I feel like, for the first 4 or 5 years of their lives. So that's, I guess, I didn't build that into what I was going to have to do. I'm really happy that it happened because it instilled in me the work ethic that I have now, which I did not have in college.
I think that sort of lends itself to the next thing that I was loud wrong about. I was really, so I also worked in local news, and I thought, if I just get to a bigger market, I just get to a place where they pay me a little more money because I was making $13,000 a year. If I just get to a new place, then I'll like this job. I'll like this job more if I'm in a better, like a bigger market, better. And I never, I'm going to admit something here. I enjoyed the writing part of it, but I never loved reporting.
You mean being on camera?
No.
Or asking questions or investigating or like what part?
I loved being able to, I was probably meant to be a newspaper reporter. I loved a deep dive into something.
Okay, so you like getting the story.
And I liked a deep dive into something, and I liked the research part of it, and I liked the writing part of it. But in TV, there's, in the local news realm at least, there is, you're doing three or four things a day. And I mean, I was on my bathroom floor with like a curling iron in one hand and I was crying on the bathroom floor every day. And I just thought that everybody was, I'm like, not everybody cries before you go to work, guys. Not everybody does that. And it was, I kept moving up because I kept on saying like, I'm going to be happy now. Like I'm going to be the next, I'll be, I'm sure to be happy now. And I just wasn't. So when my last stop, and I was a correspondent at Inside Edition, I'm like, oh, it's because of the travel that I hate it. And trust me, there were good days and I met wonderful people. But I think with a job, you do not have to love every minute of it. And I'm telling this to my kids, like, I think the illusion of a dream job is sort of garbage because it's a job. Like, I love what we do. I love what we do most of the time, but there's some days that it's like, oh, this is like, there's parts of it that aren't on amazing. So even your dream job, whatever that is, it, there are parts that are a job. So you don't have to love all of it, but you should not be crying on the bathroom floor every day. So yeah, so I was really loud wrong about that. Like it'll get better when, and that's just not the case.
Man, I mean, there's not a lot of people listening to us, but maybe some who worked in the television business. That was, that whole pyramid myth was a huge part of it.
Like, it'll get better when you're here.
Yeah.
It'll get better when I don't have to do all this stuff for myself.
Right.
And it just, and I got to the point, I was in, like, I got to the point where I didn't have to carry my own camera or edit my stuff or whatever. And I was like, I still don't really like this.
Yeah.
So, but it, honestly, it gave me the, I can look back and say the skills I learned in that directly translate to what we do today.
Yeah.
So there's no part of it that I regret. I just stayed in it for a very long time. I stayed in it for 15 years.
I got to the point where I didn't have to carry a camera and I missed it. And I went and got a camera and I started shooting again. That was one of my favorite parts. I still love the process of finding something, an image on a camera or a moment. Mm-hmm. And then turning it into something else. Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool. Okay. So this next one is, I'm going to try to find the best way to describe this, but this is something that I believed, I probably said out loud, and I believed it because I was raised by such good parents. I believed that I don't have a prejudiced bone in my body. Mm-hmm. And I have got it all figured out. I have no prejudice, stereotyping. I am, pat on the back, Ben. Good job. Mm-hmm. Let's move along. And I'm gonna credit everyone I've ever met, but who has ever had a conversation with me about this. But mostly my friend Melanie, mm-hmm. who was my work wife for 11 years. She's said to me before. She's like, you're an ally. She's black. You're an ally. You're pretty good, but everyone's a little bit racist.
Yeah.
Including me. I'm racist. You're racist. And until you admit that, you're not gonna grow. And I resisted it for a while. I'm like, no, you don't know me. And then I started listing off all the things that I've done, which is the wrong way to go for this.
Yeah, no.
And so it's funny, like she taught me a lot while I was at work. She taught me, so even some things that I'd said that I didn't realize were racist terms that I think we're all learning. We're all learning. And then I stayed friends with her. And she came and she worked in one of these companies that we'd started. And
now she's at the diversity movement.
She's at the diversity movement, which spun off of Walk West, which was a company that the Holderness family and Green Room Communications started to join. And then she still works with me on like offshoot, like production bits. And I got to go into a BLM march with her. Mm-hmm. And so it came full circle. But like that was the time that I learned, oh God, I mean, I've got it. I've just, you're never going to get it right. No one's ever going to get it right. Like, you have to listen to yourself. And when you think something, and when you walk down the street and you see a black man walk by, or you see a white man walk by, and you get more nervous when the black man walks by, like, you have to admit that that's happening in your body, and you have to figure out why.
Can I be really honest? I know this, we meant this to be like a very funny podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry I brought this up.
No. These are the conversations we need to have. And we were talking about things we got loud wrong. And that is something you got loud wrong. I was in Target and I saw a white dude with a backpack. And I just assumed there was guns in there. And so I now have these prejudices.
It's still prejudice.
Against a certain looking person.
Yep.
With a backpack. And I mean, let me tell you, I put my cart to the side and I walked right out. And I was like, what am I doing? Okay, I'm taking information. So all that to say, like, we all come into life with these things. And it's good that you can admit that.
Well, I definitely grew up in an area where my dad did a great job teaching me. It was in the South. He was a civil rights leader. He helped me, mm-hmm. right? He helped me. But to say that you got it all figured out,
it's naive.
Is loud wrong.
Something on the business front that we got loud wrong, I did. We had this channel. I loved it. It was called Nailed It, and then it turned to Craft Busters. First of all, I named it Nailed It. That was amazing. And the videos were just all about things. Like, we were trying all those things you see on the internet to see if they were true, if they could actually be done. Like the people that like repaired their drywall with ramen, stuff like that. And it was all about how it's a hunk of garbage.
I thought those were fun videos. Like we had got large amounts of views. Like when we made Instant Pot Wine.
Yeah, Instant Pot Wine. Stuff like that. We tried the things on the internet and we called it Nailed It.
Is it Instant Pot or Instapot?
I think it's an Instant Pot, but the brand is Instapot. Oh gosh, we need to look that up. But so, and then the Nailed It show came out on Netflix, and then they gave us like it wasn't them. It was like a woodworking studio gave us like a cease and desist, and then about the trademark.
That was one thing. The bigger issue to us, like the trademark thing, was just weird, and it took a second to get fixed.
Yeah.
The fact that we had been doing it for like 3 weeks. Yeah. And then the show came out on Netflix.
Yeah, so it wasn't even them trying. They were not worried about us.
They clearly had thought of it before us because it was produced more than 3 weeks before, but ours had come out first.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, I don't think we're going to be able to do this.
Anyway, so we changed the name to Craft Busters.
Yeah.
And we invested, and we're like, no, let's really make these. And we invested, like we hired people. And we to do these like really amazing videos. They were so well done. They were so well produced.
But this was the stuff without us on it,
yeah,
right?
They just didn't get the views that we thought they would, which made me sad because they were very well done.
Well, that was a reminder of just how hard it is to start something new because we put that on a different channel. We promoted it on our channel, but we were looking to, and this is just to drop the fourth wall here for you guys. If you can put something together that doesn't require you, you can automate, repeat that and take a little bit off your plate. But in the world in which we live, this podcast, our platforms, there's a reasonable expectation that people are going to see us as part of the content. Mm-hmm. And while I thought that content was excellent, I think that it's you form a habit with someone when they watch something on your page.
Yeah.
And so like that stuff we're still learning about.
Yeah.
Right. It was cool stuff. Really cool stuff.
I know. I felt bad because we had like people working on that.
Yeah.
We had like, it was people worked so hard on it and it didn't go anywhere. So loud wrong.
Yep. What's mine? Okay. Oh, I've got a good loud wrong one. I believed that America was going to love my Dr. Phil impression in a bald wig.
Oh, yeah.
I was like this in a green screen. I'm like, this is going to break the internet when I do this. And our particular viewers were not having it.
Horrified.
They were like, I don't want to imagine Penn in a mustache and being bald.
You have such glorious hair, and to cover it up was really, it was just like a bridge too far.
But my Dr. Phil impression is excellent.
I know.
So I've got to find a way to.
I know. Maybe it's a podcast thing.
Yeah.
So what do you got?
Kim? Maybe the reason that people don't like your husband in a wig is because they envision you idyllically as, you know, people that you aspire to be like. And if you look like me, then, you know, that I'm not doing a great job to bail out right now. I don't know.
I thought you did great, honey, but wasn't there going to be a situation where we were going to meet Dr. Phil? No.
I don't think so. Maybe you.
No, you know what it was? So I think the reason I thought we were going to meet him is because obviously we're launching Penn's new book, ADHD is Awesome. I'm saying it's Penn because he is the, you know, majority of the voice. And they were going through the shows that maybe if we had a particular connection or a desire to be on. And I think one of them pitched Dr. Phil. Somebody out there was pitching Dr. Phil.
Sure.
Because of the impression you did. I'm like, you know what? Let's not. I don't think that's enough of a connection. Well, thank you for coming on this journey with us.
Yeah.
Making mistakes can be very funny, but it's good to learn from them. Growth mindset, meaning you value those mistakes, you learn from them, and you become stronger because of it. So
that's us. We're the growth mindset. Seriously, we are.
We are walking growth mindset. We make a lot of mistakes. Anyway, guys, we love you.
Thanks for listening. Hopefully this entire podcast made you feel better about yourself.
It's a dog-eat-dog world out there, guys.
It is a dog-eat-dog world out there. You got to watch out for Nerf sharks. Nip those mistakes in the butt.
And if you're butt naked, it's easy to nip it in the butt.
Right, especially if you're butt naked. I mean, really, this all may be a moot point or a mute point. If you, you know, don't make these mistakes. But sorry, I'll just shut up.
Okay. Okay. Love you. Bye. Yeah,
love you, bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.